Welcome, 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 everybody, to another episode of Brain Turds. I am Monkey Arms.
And I'm T-Rex.
T-Rex, we have some stuff to talk about today, dude. How's it going, man? How you been?
Oh, I'm doing good, doing good. Staying alive, keeping myself occupied, I guess. So trying to stay out of trouble. How you doing?
You know how true of a response that is in 2020. I say, how you doing, Mark? You say, I'm trying to stay alive. And that's relevant on multiple stages right now.
This has been a crazy, crazy time going on now, man.
2020, let me just say for all you listeners out there, if you guys have been walking through the year 2020 with your blinders on and your earmuffs on, this is a year that is going to go down in history as just one of the craziest, most bizarre years. I don't think just in our country, but I mean across the globe. It's just insane what's been going on.
Oh man, things are upside down all over. This has been insane. It started off like a normal year though. If you think about it, January, we kind of got into February and things just kind of went to shit.
I did it though, because apparently we had the silent killer all the way in December and January. We just didn't know. It was like Michael Myers when he's watching Jamie Lee Curtis in the beginning and she doesn't know it. like that's how coronavirus has been, just lurking over the privacy fence, behind the bushes, slowly getting us, sneaking up, and then bam, and then now protests, and just a whole bunch of other shit. I don't even have time to display all the tricks in the bag right now.
Oh yeah, I guess when I say that it started off like a normal year, we thought that it started off like a normal year. You're right. With the coronavirus, I guess, you know, it could have actually been toward the end of last year that it was actually hitting us. But yeah, I thought it started off like a normal year.
So you and I, we talked about not long ago, because we're still doing all these racing challenges, virtual runs, all that stuff. I'm not going to go into detail about it. We've been talking a lot about it. Don't want to bore people. We did speak on how we don't want to just keep talking about coronavirus everywhere. You guys are aware of coronavirus. We know what's going on. It has not gone away. It's still here. Go to NPR News, go to BBC, get your news. It's there. But we were hoping that when we came back on the air, we would be able to talk about something positive, something fun, something good. That's not going to be the case today either. And I apologize for that.
Yeah, so I was going to say, it's not that we didn't want to talk about it. We just wanted something a little bit more upbeat and we didn't find it.
No, we did find something.
Yeah.
But we did not find something upbeat. So we want to try to keep it uplifting and positive on this podcast, or at least for the most part. But sometimes that's hard to do. And it's especially hard to do with coronavirus. And now with the whole nation and the widespread protesting and rioting, it just breaks my heart, you know, seeing what's happening in my city, in our country, everywhere right now. It's horrible.
I mean, in your former hometown, things got crazy. I mean, I don't even have the words, man. I didn't expect it to happen quite like it did in Lafayette, Indiana. I didn't see it going to that level.
Right. And I want to touch on all that. I want to talk about Lafayette, Indiana. I want to talk about Rochester, New York. I want to talk about where this started. If you guys are unsure what we're speaking about, we're speaking about the immediate trigger for these protests. And what that was the killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer. I honestly don't know the entire story. The video is out there. It's a horrible video, especially if you think about it. We are watching a man being murdered right in front of our eyes on camera, live, and it's horrible. But basically the gist of the video is the police officer has George Floyd pinned to the ground and he's kneeling on his neck. And from what I have heard, he was kneeling on his neck for 7 or 8 minutes. And you can hear George Floyd saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I mean, he's handcuffed and he ultimately died because of this. Now, since the officer has been charged with third degree murder and second degree manslaughter, but this is police brutality at its finest. And this is not something that is new to America.
Well, and that's just it. You had three other cops that were there that just stood by and watched a guy get murdered. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Right. I mean, everybody needs to be held accountable for this. And this is one of those things that's been going on for years. We go all the way back to the 60s and we see racial protests and police brutality and all of this. This is not something that's new, but it just seems like it's so difficult for us to learn from our mistakes. Why is that?
Well, it's not new, but what is new is the technology. And now you're actually seeing a lot of this stuff firsthand.
Correct.
Think about it. If I believe it was a 17-year-old girl that took this video of George Floyd being murdered with a cell phone. Think about that. You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, well, maybe 10, you weren't going to get that kind of video. So what were these cops doing back then? Nobody saw what they were doing. Now you can get a video.
Well, you know
of
what's
it.
Even more crazy is we see that happen. And a few days later, there's another issue where a white woman, I don't even know her name. I'm sorry that I can't bring up her name, but it was in Central Park in New York. This black male was bird watching, and this lady's walking through with her dog not on a leash. And he asks the lady if she would please put her dog on a leash. They are supposed to be on leashes in that area because they don't want dogs chasing and harming birds. It's a bird watcher area. He was watching the birds, and this lady started going off the deep end, white woman, and started threatening, saying that she was going to call the police and say that an African-American man was threatening her. And she knew when she said those words, I'm going to call the police and tell them that I am being threatened and harassed by an African-American male. She knew the implications that she was placing on him, on the situation. She knew how much power her as a white woman calling the police department and saying that she was being harassed by an African-American male. She knew the strength in those words and the power in her words by doing so. And this lady was completely in the wrong in that situation. Video of that. It's insane. And then not only that, but after all this happens with George Floyd, then you see the protesters and stuff in New York City, and there's New York City officers driving their vehicles into the crowd. They're protesting what you are doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you had, I guess, in Louisville, Kentucky, you had I don't know if they're sure if it was the National Guard or the Louisville, Kentucky police, but they shot basically into a crowd with rubber bullets and wound up killing a guy that actually owns a restaurant. He was actually, I guess, a fairly famous guy with his barbecue in Louisville, Kentucky.
So these protests are now happening all across the nation, not just in the nation, all across the globe. I mean, they're happening in Germany, even everywhere. People are protesting this because it's just not right.
Yeah, I heard they were protesting in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everywhere. So I'm up here in Rochester, New York, and I actually called you a couple days ago. What was it? Last Thursday night or Friday night? I think it was. It was
Friday
last Friday night.
Night.
It was last Friday night. I called you at like 9:30 at night because shit started hitting the fan up here. So let me paint the picture for you. It was a peaceful protest against racism and police brutality in America, and it was followed by vandalism and looting that spread throughout our entire county up here. So the original protest began, I know you don't know streets and stuff up here, but I find this kind of relevant. The protest began at Martin Luther King Jr. Park around 1 p.m., and it went for 3 or 4 hours, and it was peaceful for the duration that it was supposed to be going on. Speeches were said, everything was on theme with racial inequality, and then they did a march around downtown. After the protest was supposed to be over, next thing you know, riots start. Some of the group began to damage the Rochester Police Department vehicles, eventually setting them on fire. The area around the public safety building fell into chaos. Groups of people continued to vandalize and damage property from the Rochester Police Department and the city. The city ended up employing tear gas, pepper spray, pepper ball ammunition, rubber bullets. It just got crazy. And the pictures, I sent you pictures of just protesters flipping vehicles and burning vehicles and breaking into multiple buildings all across Rochester. I mean, everywhere, looting small businesses. There's video of a couple people. This completely devastates me. There's video of two store owners, little small mom and pop shop. And what have we been doing all this time on this podcast? We've been preaching to please support the mom and pop shops because of coronavirus and everything. And these people are barely making it by. And we're now entering phase one, phase two. We're trying to open up. So this husband and wife were standing outside of their mom and pop shop, just trying to keep looters from going in and destroying their shit. And there's video of a couple people beating these store owners with 2x4s. They got sent to the hospital, and all they were trying to do was protect their family business from looters. Now, I get the protests. I understand what they're protesting for. I 100% support the protests. What I don't support is what I just told you. I don't support this mom and pop business owner, this husband and wife, getting beaten with 2x4s, trying to keep looters from busting into their building and destroying what they have. It's a complex situation because I get both sides. I get the anger, I get the fury, I get everybody's out of work, everybody's been shut up in their homes because of coronavirus. I get the anger about racism and inequality and police brutality. I get it all. And I just think it's just exploding right now. And so it's so complex. It's not a black and white situation. It's difficult to wrap your mind around.
Well, and that's my problem, right? Is the protest, like, well, here in Lafayette, okay, they started at the courthouse. I heard there was like a little speech there. Then they marched to the police station and the mayor of Lafayette was there. I believe the police chief was there. They had other local politicians that were actually on the side of the road.
Thing here.
Yeah, and it was nice and peaceful, and the protest itself went off without a hitch. From what I've heard, there was no problems whatsoever at the protest. Now, after the organizers said, hey, you know, that's it, we're done, wrap it up, we're going to, you know, it's time to go home. Well, that's when the shit hit the fan, really, because then a bunch of them went to the west side, then they came back, and they gathered at the courthouse. People started trying to break into the courthouse. Then the cops had to show up, and I don't know if there were any rubber bullets fired in Lafayette, but I do know that there were flashbangs and tear gas. And one of my best friends I've known since I was about 6 years old, he's a firefighter in Lafayette. And he was on duty last night during the protest, and his department alone had 10 runs. They had to go to 10 different fires to go put them out.
I wondered about that. And so I have a little bit of a beef with your guys' local news station. I'm not going to say the name or anything, but it frustrates me because it seems that your local news station wants to paint this image of this quaint little, nice, non-violent town. And I'm not saying that Lafayette is a violent town, but it's not all roses and sunshine. But they paint it to be that way. And everything that I found was from live streams on YouTube of people actually in the protest. I couldn't find headlines of anything on your local news station. I couldn't find anything on any other kind of website. Everything I found was like videos and stuff that I sent you. And yes, I do agree with you. I watched the entire thing, man, because it's my old hometown. I wanted to see what was going on too. And I watched the entire thing, and the actual, just like up here in Rochester, the time frame for the protest was peaceful. And then it's the aftermath. It's the aftermath, and that's all it took there in Lafayette too. Up here, it was somebody started, I can't remember if it was spray painting or if they just started breaking windows or something, but it's like a couple people start it and then everybody follows. Same thing in Lafayette. One or two people started spray painting the courthouse. Then they started breaking the doors and windows of the courthouse. And you hear the police say, this is what's happening. We're about to smoke them. And they throw out tear gas. And then shit hits the fan and anger starts going. Tempers start flaring. And I did wonder about your friend being the firefighter. I heard that there was multiple reports of fires being lit in different places. And of course, that also did not get reported on your local news station.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things that it's kind of nice having, you know, people around the city. And you know, like I said, I grew up with the sheriff of Tippecanoe County. I mean, I went to high school with him. We used to play baseball together and everything. He's a really good guy. And, you know, he even said, you know, that I think that actually made the news that there were actually shots fired at one of his deputies.
That did make the news. I did hear that somebody got shot, but I did not hear much about the fires or anything like that. And then I sent you the video, the actual footage of your guys' Best Buy being broken into by a mob of people. And on a small scale, like in Lafayette, that's a huge deal because that's a small little town. And something like that happening is just major. Now, imagine that being like 30 stores up here in Rochester. It was insane.
Well, so I'd like to know about this Best Buy thing, because rumor has it that those people traveled down from Chicago to do this. So it would be interesting to find out how many of them people weren't from Lafayette, because I think they said in Indianapolis during the protests, they arrested people, and they had arrested people from North Carolina.
I wonder how much truth there is to this, okay? Because I have heard in three different states now that these protests, once they turn violent, has been blamed on outsiders, has been blamed on what they're calling professional protesters that come in and stir the pot and get everybody going. And then the community of wherever that is happening takes the bait and stuff just explodes. But they said originally that it was outsiders here in Rochester, and then come to find out, it can get traced back to a white supremacist here in Rochester, that this group here in Rochester is what started this. So I don't know how much I believe that it's actually outsiders, or if that's just a community's way of saying, well, we're not that bad. That's not us. This is outsiders, you know?
Oh, I got a feeling you're going to have a little bit of both. Okay. And here's what I like. If you remember, or I don't know if you saw any video footage of the AutoZone in Minneapolis, there's a guy dressed all in black. He's carrying an umbrella. He's wearing a gas mask, and the guy is white. And he's nonchalantly going up and busting out the windows. And somebody actually confronts him. And when they confront him, they start asking him if he's a cop. And he actually walks away and never says anything. He just keeps walking. And the guy keeps following him, asking him if he was an undercover cop. But the guy never replies, never turns around. He just keeps going. So it kind of makes you wonder.
Right. And, you know, I don't claim to know anything. I don't know. I mean, it's hard telling. It's hard telling if there's anything that's set up or not. But regardless, let's reel this in just for a second and talk about what some of these protests mean and how they're being carried out and what your thoughts are on that as a whole.
Look, I understand. Like you were saying, you know, I get it. I understand what the protest is about, and I'm behind them 100%. I mean, especially after watching that video, I mean, if you have the stomach to watch that thing all the way through, it's so disheartening to watch that guy just being murdered right there. And he just, I mean, you can hear him, and he finally just, goddamn, it's a tough video to watch, man. But I 100%, I back these people that are protesting. I understand it, and something needs to change. But the protesters aren't the ones that are doing the shit where they're vandalizing, destroying people's property. Those people are hurting the cause of the protester. They're making the protest look bad.
So I've tried to broaden my view on things. I try to go through life accepting that I don't have all the answers, and I try to go into every conversation open-minded and expecting people to show me a view or a way of thinking that I might not have done so on my own. And I have not been able to wrap my mind around the looting when it comes to the protesting, the breaking windows and the what seems to be taking it out on these smaller businesses and things like that. I haven't been able to wrap my mind around it. And then Trevor Noah, are you familiar with him? He's a comedian. I think he does took over one of the comedy shows.
Jon Stewart.
He took over his show, yeah.
Yeah.
He also wrote a book called Born a Crime. The guy's amazing. I mean, he's got such a story. He's a level-headed individual. I love Trevor Noah. And he had an opinion on the looting and everything that kind of made me think differently. I'm not saying I'm completely on board with it, but it kind of made me think differently. And he was saying, think about the way you felt when you saw those businesses being broken into. And especially now you can relate with it being your own hometown, your own home city. And seeing these mom and pop shops being stolen from and the contract of society being broken. Like, we all have this way of living in society. We've all just kind of accepted that society runs a certain way and we all follow a certain set of rules. And then seeing people break that contract by stealing and looting and breaking into businesses and hurting other people. Think about how you felt, remember how you felt, and then put yourself in a minority's shoes. And he was saying, and I'm probably butchering this, there's a video on YouTube, you can actually find the video, and he's going to say it way better than I'm saying it. But he was saying, think about it from a minority's perspective. As whites, blacks, Mexicans, Asians, all of us, we sign this contract of how society works, and the contract is upheld and seems to be working right for white people when it comes to police. And it does. You know, we do get a certain treatment, just like the rich get a certain treatment when it comes to jail time and sentencing. I mean, look at Aunt Becky from Full House right now. It's a perfect example.
Yeah.
And then minorities get frustrated when they see that they're trying to abide by this contract of how we work as a society, and police are breaking the contract, and they feel scared and they feel hurt and they feel sickened every time they walk out their door and they're walking down the street or they're driving and they get pulled over. And when he compared the two, I felt like I kind of got it. Now, I still don't support small businesses and destroying your own community and your own city. I still don't support that. But the feeling that it made me feel, if that was the actual point of it, then I received the message. But I don't know that that was the actual point of it, or if it was just people taking advantage of a situation. Because it didn't seem to be the peaceful protesters that were doing this. It seemed to be other people taking advantage of the situation. So I don't know. And I'm open to people's opinions. If you want to comment and let me know, if you want to tweet us and give me your perspective, I'd love to hear it. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. But if giving me that feeling of sadness and hurt and feeling like our societal contract has been broken, if that was the point in the message, then I received it.
Well, look, I think it's possible that that could have been the message that they were trying to send. But honestly, I have to say, I think they were just trying to take advantage of an opportunity. I just think there's some people out there that they're not good people. They're bad people, whatever. They're just trying to take advantage. They're trying to get something for nothing. And any walk of life, it doesn't matter. You can name it. Cops, professional football players, white, black, Mexican. There is a percentage of bad people in everything. And I think that's what you're finding out in the protests. I think you're finding out that there's going to be the outliers. And believe me, they're not all black. I know a lot of people want to go out there and say, oh, they're thugs. No, there's a lot of white people that are doing this shit. They're going out, they're destroying stuff. Now, are they trying to start it, trying to get people to rally with them and, you know, just try to get it so they can step back and watch them burn it down? That's a possibility. But yeah, I really think it's just you're seeing a percentage of just shitty people trying to do shitty things.
Well, and you know what's also interesting is we're all so good at telling people that the way they're protesting is wrong. And I don't want to do that. But when you think about it, what was Colin Kaepernick protesting a couple years ago? This is what he was protesting. George Floyd, what happened to George Floyd is what Colin Kaepernick was protesting. He wasn't trying to disgrace America. He wasn't trying to be disrespectful to America. He was protesting in a calm manner, the best way he knew how, without being violent, to draw awareness to the situation that we are having shoved in our faces right now. And what did everybody do when Colin Kaepernick was protesting in a peaceful manner? What'd they do? They shit all over him. They ran that man out of town.
Yep.
They ran him out of the NFL.
They destroyed him. They basically took his livelihood away. I mean, I'm not going to back him and say that he was a great quarterback, but I think he was still good enough to be a backup somewhere in the NFL. And yeah, they destroyed him over this.
They ruined him. And that was the best peaceful way he could have protested. And so now all of this is happening. And what are we doing? We're giving everybody fucking shit again because this is not the way to protest. We need it to be a peaceful way to protest. What the fuck was he doing a couple years ago? He was peacefully protesting. Y'all still fucking destroyed him. I've supported Colin Kaepernick with his protest the entire time. I totally understood it. I thought it was fine. I had no problem with it. All I wanted to do was watch football.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure you could look back in a Brain Turds archive and I will have said that same thing. I just want to watch football, man. That's all I wanted. But it pisses me off that he was being peaceful. He was doing it the quote unquote right way, if there even is a right way to protest. I mean, it's called a protest for a reason. And now people are being this way about it and more violent, more extreme, and we're still pissed off. What do you want? What do you not want people to bring this up at all? What do you want?
Yeah, they want him to sweep it under the rug. Well, I mean, look at the, I want to say his name was Eric Gardner, that got choked out and died. Remember, he was the first guy that yelled out, "I can't breathe." And the NBA players all wore those shirts in unity that said, "I can't breathe." And what did the cops do? The cops wore they wore an opposite shirt saying something about, I can breathe or something like that. Basically, they made fun of the situation. And then, you know, they're trying to sweep it under the rug. This is in your face now. What other way are they supposed to protest? They've tried wearing shirts. They tried kneeling on the sidelines. Well, what other option do you have besides voting?
Right. And yeah, like I said, this is such a complex situation. This is not black and white. No pun intended there. But I mean, it's a gray area. It's very complex. It's a difficult situation. But I mean, again, this has been something that's been going on forever. You and I have talked about this on our runs, all the way back to the Rodney King days. This could be compared to the 1960s. This has been going on for a long time, but I don't want people to think that things aren't changing, because I think we need to look back on history and we need to look back into the 40s and the 50s and 60s, and we need to remember how things were back then. I was born in the 90s. I wasn't there, but I have read history. Okay. I have grandparents. I've been told stories. I have a pretty good idea of what it was like based on the information I have. But if we look back then and then we look at now, things have improved. They have gotten better. But I think when we think about time and we think about how long it takes to make changes, I think our perception of time is warped. I think we assume that 1 year, 2 year, 10 years, 20 years is a long time to change the situation. And thinking on a small scale, maybe it is. But when we think on the grand scale, grand scheme of things, maybe taking 20, 30, 40 years to change a situation isn't that long. It's a little blip. When you think about how long we have all been on Earth, we can make changes now to make things better 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 100, 200 years from now. But we need to keep making the changes now. It's not going to change overnight. We're not going to wake up tomorrow and everything's going to be great and cops are going to be great and there's not going to be any more police brutality. No, it's not going to work that way. But we're making changes now. We just need to try not to do it in a violent manner. And I say try because I know it's hard and tempers flare. But we got to try.
Well, I think the big problem is things have gotten better, but you know, for a certain race in this country, things haven't gotten better fast enough for them. And I understand.
100% correct. 100%.
And I get it. And I can't say that I understand them a whole, 100%, but I kind of see it. And I don't want people to, if anybody listens to this, I don't want anybody to take that out. He thinks he knows. No, I don't know. And I've never had to walk a mile in their shoes. And believe me, I'm thankful, but I feel for them because, I don't know. I always get in trouble because I never know exactly what, people get mad at me, the PC, but I've had black friends before or African-American friends. And, I have seen some of this shit go down, and I understand that in certain situations, a white person has a privilege that they do not have.
100%. And that's one thing that pisses me off entirely is when you speak to people, some people, not all people, and they get pissed off because the race card gets played among minorities. Of course the race card gets played, and of course it gets played among black people. Why wouldn't it? Our race sure the hell hasn't been disenfranchised like theirs has. We weren't slaves.
We weren't brought over here in boats, to where we had to stay with our owner.
They get to play that card as much as they want to. And if you are an individual who truly thinks that all races are equal right now and get treated equally, you're delusional.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you get upset for me saying that. You, not you, Mark. But people as a whole who believe that racism isn't a thing and they're upset with black people playing the race card. Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, you show me one other race that could play it as much as they should be able to. Just one.
You and I, we're white males. We're as privileged as they come without being celebrities and millionaires, all right?
Yeah.
And I told you the other day, I'm afraid of cops. I'm afraid and don't trust them. And I'm a white male. I can't imagine being an African-American, male or female, and driving down the street and maybe going 10 miles over the speed limit, or walking on a sidewalk at night, not doing anything. I can't imagine the fear that they must have just trying to walk home.
Just look at what happened in Georgia. What was it, a month ago, 2 months ago? That Arbery guy, that I can't remember his first name, and I'm sorry, but he went into a building, a house under construction, checked it out, come out. He was chased down and murdered in the street by two white guys. Actually, three white guys, they're saying now. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know there's been plenty of times where I know a lot of people, but I've done it myself, where I've went into construction sites and walked around and looked at houses that were being built, looking at the construction. And yes, I've even done that when I went for runs. When I lived in Lafayette, I would go out, you know, into a housing addition. There were times I stopped and walked into a building and walked around, looked around, come out and started running again. Nobody tracked me down. Nobody shot me.
Right. It's crazy. It is crazy. And that's why I have a hard time getting upset with what's going on right now with the protests. It hurts that your community is being destroyed. I don't like that they're doing things to their own home also, protesters I'm speaking of. But at the same time, I don't understand the minority's feelings on it because I'm not one. You know, I don't want to even say that I understand their situation. Like you said, I want to be clear about that because I'm a white male. I don't understand. I can try and sympathize, but I can't say that I understand. And we're fortunate for that. But it also makes you feel guilty, doesn't it?
Well, I don't want to say I can't do that. I can't play the I feel white guilt card just because I know personally I've never done anything, but I can understand where they can say, you know, the racist system is going against them. I can understand that. But me personally, I've had people tell me that when I say something, they'll go, oh, you just feel the white guilt. No, I don't. But I can see where they've had the injustice over however many hundreds of years now. You know, it's hard not to be able to, I'm not that blind.
I guess I don't want to say that it's white guilt. I feel guilty as a fellow human that I have been treated better than others. Maybe that's what you're talking about when you say white guilt, but I almost feel naive in a way because I just want peace, happiness, love. Like I just want to spread that, you know, we learn it in kindergarten, you know, treat people like you want to be treated. And I Absolutely. Try to live by that. That's a kindergarten rule that I've taken with me into adulthood. And so for me, when I see others being treated poorly, it does make me feel guilty if I'm not being treated poorly. Why am I getting something better than Joe Blow down the street? You know, that's not right to me. I want things to be fair. Maybe that's me being naive. That's what I want.
Well, I'm still naive at 47 because I would like to see things be a little, you know, a little more fair. But I mean, we've said it. You can go through past episodes and we've both said it. You know, you do you, I'll do me, and, you know,
right.
You know, we'll just live and let live, basically. I mean, that's both of us right. are that way. Me and you both, that's how we try to basically live our lives. So, yeah, right. I kind of understand where
and
you're
I think
saying.
That's why this is so hard.
Now, I do want to say one thing real quick for these protesters. Be careful because they keep telling you that they're using non-lethal weapons with these flashbangs and the gassing.
Tear gas?
Tear gas. Yeah, tear gas. Jesus. But those rubber bullets, those things are dangerous. And I was real quick, rubber bullets are anywhere, they're about 3 to 5 inches long, and they're harder rubber than a car tire. And some of them are actually steel inside that rubber. And they're coming at you. I was reading a thing that said, it's think of about basically getting hit point blank range with 160 mile an hour fastball.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up. Not funny, but it's interesting that you bring that up because, and I don't remember if I told you this or not, but that night, last Friday night when I called you, it turns out that one of the protesters, when the police started shooting rubber bullets, blinded a woman in one of her eyes, hit her in the eye with it.
Yeah, they're actually
That's
meant
no
to,
joke, man.
They're you're not now. See, the cops are actually they're not using them the right way because they were designed to shoot at the ground and bounce up and hit you. Now they're designed to actually they are designed to break bones.
Well, let me be clear. I don't know that that's not what happened. I don't know that. I mean, I would assume if he shot her point blank in the eye, it would have killed her. So I don't know that it didn't bounce and hit her. I just know that she got hit.
I've watched some of these live streams and the way if you see the cops as they're getting ready to fire these things, they're not pointing them down. They're pointing them into the crowd.
Correct.
And it's, as I say, they're meant to bounce and hit. And they are supposed to put you down. I mean, they can break your bones. They can cause internal bleeding and everything. But when fired at point blank range, straight at you, yeah, they can kill you. And if they hit you in the temple, you're done. That's it. Game over.
Well, and before we wrap this up, I also want to say there has been police officers joining in on some of these protests and kneeling with these peaceful protesters. And singing songs and doing dances and things like that in these peaceful protests. It is happening. Police officers are participating with the peaceful protesters. We don't see all of that on the news. We see the negative stuff on the news. So I just want to be clear that it's not all negative. But the negative things are what we speak about because the bad is really bad. And that's like, I don't like saying that all officers are assholes because they're not, but the bad ones are really bad ones. And so it's unfortunate, but I'm all for the peaceful protests. I'm all for the chanting. I'm all for the signs. I'm all for the demonstrations. A lot of them are laying down in the street with their hands behind their back saying they can't breathe. And that's an extremely powerful demonstration. I'm all for that. I'm not for the destruction and the flipping of cars and the lighting fires. I'm not for that. And I'm not for the police officers using tear gas and rubber bullets and flashbangs. I'm not for that. That's not what we need. I do think the protests are necessary to move things forward. I think, obviously, it has us all speaking about it, which is the point. And I hope that as generations continue to come through society, we continue to make progress.
I just want to say, yeah, I've seen some live streams of cops that have been marching with them. And again, like we've said, both our places where we live, the protests went off basically with no problem. It was after the protesters, the organizers had left and the protesters are there. And then you have the outliers. That's when things got turned bad. And, and as far as cops go, yeah, I know some good cops, but there's no such thing as one bad cop because if you're a good cop and you know a bad cop and you know he's doing something wrong and you don't turn him in, you're now a bad cop. And that's just the way I look at it.
Well, and I think there's a lot of things that need to be fixed in the police force. If you get on Reddit, there's been questions to other police officers asking how they feel about these situations right now and what they think about what's going on. And there's a lot of politics and a lot of almost like sorority style to some of these police officers and police stations. And that's unfortunate. There's something that needs to be fixed. There's something broken in the police force that this stuff happens. That some of these people just feel like they need to be bullies, but something's broken and it needs to be fixed. I don't know what it is, but something needs to be fixed.
Yeah, somebody needs to break that thin blue line. That's what somebody needs to do. I understand you want to have each other's back when you're out there, but if somebody's doing something wrong, somebody's doing something wrong. It doesn't matter if they're a cop or not. I mean, if it's wrong, right. It's wrong.
Well, this is a very interesting time now for America this whole year. I think our country's hurting bad, Mark. I think it's hurting bad in a lot of different ways. And now this is overshadowing coronavirus, and coronavirus is still with us strongly.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned now that after Memorial Day and after all these protests, yes, a lot of the protesters were wearing masks, but we're still in huge groups. I'm afraid that in the next few weeks, we're going to have a spike in cases and we're going to have more deaths. We have had more deaths from coronavirus than the Vietnam War. Yeah. America's hurting bad.
I believe we're now approaching like World War One.
Yeah, we are. We are. I think the world, just as humanity, not just our country, but humanity's hurting bad, and it's a sad time. And so, like I said, I'm for the protest, but I'm also pro spreading love and positivity. And I think as long as we can keep the communication open and we can talk about this kind of stuff like people and human beings and support each other and get through it, we got to keep moving forward.
Oh, yeah. That definitely got to keep moving forward. Just, I mean, treating people the way you want to be treated. It's just amazing that you hear people say it, but people just don't, they just don't live by it.
Well, and that's the thing is we're not speaking about just people when we say that and excluding officers. We're including officers. Treat people like you want to be treated. That cop in Minneapolis, do you want somebody kneeling on your neck for 7 to 8 minutes while you can't breathe? Do you want that? No. So don't do that to somebody else.
I can't lie. I'd like to see somebody do it to him.
Well, that's a topic. That's a discussion for another episode. We're trying to stop the brutality. But no, I mean, the fact that when you watch that video, he just looked like he didn't care.
No.
It's like,
it was a power trip.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm kneeling on him. I don't care if he's whining. I don't care if he's says he can't breathe. He's probably making it up. I'm going to kneel on him anyway. Well, yeah, you killed a man.
Yeah.
You absolutely killed a man in the street.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my mind around that, man.
It's crazy.
Again, I support the protest. I understand it. I just hope that we can continue to make them peaceful and stop the fires and the violence. This is complex, dude. This is complex. It's crazy. You have any closing stuff you want to wrap up? We went a little bit over on this episode, but I felt like this was an episode that we needed to speak everything we wanted to speak. And I know we didn't cover it all. I know there's a lot of things that are unsaid. I'm sure there's some disagreements on things that we've said with people listening. And like I said, feel free to tweet us. It's an open discussion. We don't want arguments, but show us your perspective and enlighten us, educate us. I'm open to learning. I'm open to new perspectives. I'm open for enlightenment here.
That changed my mind. If you got a good argument, I'm willing to change my mind on what I'm thinking. But right now I just look at it. It was, it was a bad cop murdering a guy on the street. And I understand the protests and let's quit looting and shit. Let's quit burning buildings and tearing up hometowns. Let's do this the right way.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening. You can follow us on brainturds.podomatic.com. We are also on Twitter. We are at turdsbrain. Please feel free to tweet us. Like I said, this is a very deep and emotional topic, and we are all ears. We'd love to hear what your protest experience has been like, what your thoughts are on the situation, and honestly, what you think we could do differently as protesters to make a change. You can also follow us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We're on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Player FM, and Podcast Addict. I say it every time. I'm not going to not say it this time. Mark uses Podcast Addict. If he can use it, you can use it. Super easy platform. I want to thank you all for listening. Please stay safe. Please continue your social distancing. Wear your masks if you go out. Thank you for listening. Peace.
Take it easy.